All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool, and we got a special guest in the studio today who'd like to say hello.
Joe Ferdinando, Building Security Services here in New Jersey.
All right, and Joe's got his own beverage there. We've got our beverages, so yeah. We'll jump into the beverage portion of the show, but we're going to be talking about Joe's story, which is really cool because it's a good old fashioned American entrepreneur story, with a little direct mail thrown in right up our alley, and it's not an interview you're going to hear on most podcasts. So that's what I love about it too. So
we got to tease this, man.
I thought I did. Is that not good enough?
but you got to add in, man, the lumpy mail. So Joe's going to share with us about lumpy mail.
Hey, lumpy mail is very good.
Yes.
No, it's great.
It's made very good money throughout the years.
Absolutely. Sean and I have been meaning to hit on this topic. Joe has managed to build his security business to a $14 million a year business using lumpy mail. So he's going to share his story. I can't wait to hear about this because I've been one of my favorite books. It wasn't last year, but it's like the year before I read a book, How to Get a Meeting with Anyone by Stu Hynek. And the whole premise of that book is how to get to like the VIP people within organizations, companies. And when all else fails in this day and age, emails, people ignore emails, phone calls, text, even text today. You know, people almost find it annoying if you've got their number and you try to reach out to them. So you got to get creative.
Yeah, especially for prospecting, for sure.
Exactly.
So, all right, well, that's going to be a good show. But before we get in, let's have our guest. So usually, Joe, what we do is we introduce our beer because, you know, that's really the reason we do this whole show is just to
just to drink
beer on a Friday, a little bit early on Friday. tell us what beer you got there or what beverage you've got there.
Right now I'm drinking it's called Two Towns. The beer is crafted in Maplewood, New Jersey. This one's an amber ale that I'm drinking. It's, you know, one of our local guys from a microbrewery that's sold around the South Orange Maplewood area.
Oh, okay, cool. Can you hold up the can?
Oh, sure.
We'd like to see it. Ooh, yeah.
There we go.
Now, what does that say again? I can't read it. It's got a little glare.
It says Two Towns.
Two Towns.
Two Towns.
Yeah. Amber Ale.
Okay.
Soma, S-O-M-A on top.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. I don't know if that's better.
So it's kind of says, just an amber ale.
Yeah. Well, their reservation IPA is, you guys should try that. It has a nice flavor, a little on the sour side, but that's my taste.
So we won't be trying that.
Yeah, we're not huge IPA fans. I don't know. You know, Jonathan, this summer we may have to break down.
That's right.
Because we tend to be porter and stout guys, and those days are coming to an end here soon. And
well, then you get like I do. You'll end up drinking Crown Royal or nice tequila.
Yeah, we'll move to
bourbon.
Persuasion.
Yeah, bourbon. Yeah, so yeah, like a bourbon or scotch or something like that.
The old man's drink.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you
go. Problem is, a pint of that stuff is really a lot, you know, for a show. So
exactly. It does.
So,
Sean once brought a bottle. Tell him how much. What was that? The most expensive bottle of scotch we've had on the show. What was that?
I think we had a Macallan 18 once.
Okay.
So that was a good, that was a nice, you know, it's not,
very,
not super,
very good.
Yep.
Yeah, not a super expensive, but, you know, it's the top of my liquor cabinet anyway, top shelf in my cabinet, but, no Van Winkle or anything like that. So,
But what do you tend to lean towards? Do you go amber IPAs? Is that,
I'll do more ambers, IPAs. I happen to like this one just for the fact of the tart flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like for instance, I'll drink a, you know, any type of tart type, beer or even a tart drink, like a vodka gimlet, which is basically just vodka with some lime juice in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I like the, that little bitter shock taste.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if Sour Patch Kids had a beer, you'd probably like that.
Yeah, I would enjoy that. Absolutely.
All right. All right. So I'll go next here. I've got the same company we featured a couple episodes, your last episode, I think it was the two episodes ago, same brewery, Infamous Brewing Company here in Austin, right down the road from the house. Mm-hmm. And this one is Camacho. See, there we go.
Oh,
so Camacho, which
Camacho.
I think all of these are movie references. Uh-huh. And I don't recognize Camacho, but I know it sounds vaguely familiar, but it
hold that up one more time. Let me see.
Camacho.
I can't see it until you say something.
Camacho.
Oh, Camacho. I like
that's a manly beard.
Yeah.
The way that sounds.
Yeah.
So,
got the flag and everything, man.
Yeah. This is an American stout. So lots of coffee, little coffee flavor to it, stuff like that. So,
nice.
Looking pretty dark here in the old. Yeah, for some reason, there we go. Nice and dark.
Yep.
So you must be rustling around in your chair a lot, Jonathan, because the little green box is staying on you.
Oh, so, really? Oh, okay.
But now I think noise. We're.
I guess he's just fidgety. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm trying to open my bottle over here. So I've got.
So you're in Austin, Texas.
I am, and Jonathan's in Knoxville, Tennessee. I was in Knoxville there with Jonathan for quite a while and then moved out here last year. So yeah, it's just, we love it. We love Austin. It's totally different than the rest of Texas. Very different. So
very nice.
Jonathan, what do you got? And then we'll get on with the show.
I've got Old Faithful, man.
Oh yeah.
Kentucky bourbon barrel.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
What is that? Let me write this one down.
Yeah, you can find that one in most stores. You can find that one for sure.
That's what, Kentucky?
Kentucky Bourbon. Their brewery is based out of Lexington, Kentucky. I've been up there a number of times. But you can find all sorts of, they've got their bourbon barrel stouts. This is just the bourbon barrel ale version. But they've got the porters, stouts, everything. But these are really good. It's a kind of like amber ale, but it's got a little bourbon in there. Or it's brewed in bourbon barrels, or they store it in bourbon barrels, I guess.
Well, that's why I have to give it a shot.
Yeah.
And that can be purchased in the stores.
Yeah.
Up this way.
Yeah. Should be at most grocery stores.
And if not, the next best brand is probably anything from Founders, that they kind of have the same series where they have some bourbon barrel type stuff. Founders Brewing.
Yeah, I've had Founders.
Yeah, so same kind of class as far as quality, good stuff.
Yeah, I
just figured I'd go with the local craft beer since you guys.
Well, that's what we like. Route. Yeah, I'm glad you brought something completely different on.
All right, well let's get into this story, Joe and Jonathan. You found Joe through the interwebs and the. Help a reporter out and all that stuff. So I'm going to let you drive this one and I'm going to sit back and sip a beer and enjoy and then jump in when I have a question.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really pleased. Joe reached out to us through your contact Mario over at Squarefoot. And so he put us in contact. Joe, you're the, now tell me a little bit on your business. It's Building Security Services. Is that the name of it?
Yes. The original company is Building Security Services Inc. I started that in 1982.
Okay.
I was 24 years old at the time. Wow. When I started that.
What are most people doing at 24 these days?
Not what I was doing.
Not what you were doing.
I literally came up the hard way, guys. I came out of high school cleaning toilets. So I went from being a janitor to opening up my own company. So I've had a little different experience on grabbing the bull by the horns.
Sure.
Making it happen. So everything I've learned is basically running into walls and picking myself back up.
So how did you tell us how, I mean, so you started out at 24. That's amazing. I got to share this. I'm going to share this with my kids. You know, at a young age, what did you do before then? I mean, what was your background? Did you go to school?
I came out of high school. Mm-hmm. I was, opened up a janitorial firm with my dad, because he said, you know, son, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. I said, I don't know, Dad. And he said, all right, let's go out. We can start a cleaning company. What happened was I found I was able to do sales, and, you know, I was, I ended up turning to be a decent deal cutter. I expanded that business into a $3 million company within about 3.5-4 years.
Okay.
So what happened was,
and just for reference, what year was that?
I started that in 1978.
So that's when $2-3 million was some real money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Big difference. Yeah. So what happened was, I took the company, ran it up, to where I was like, all right, you know, doing well. My parents, decided to, well, you know, we need to bring everybody in. You know, my brother and so on. And, you know, like any family business, you know, different ethics of work,
sure,
take place. And, I was the go-getter, and everybody kind of wanted to ride coattails, and that didn't work for me. So I was helping a gentleman, one of my friend's cousins, run for governor of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And the joke was, I ran a cleaning service better than half the guard agencies out in the industry. I was already uniforming my janitors. I was giving them ID cards at the time. I was mm-hmm. drug testing them.
Yeah.
Back in, you know, late 70s, early 80s, which made me a complete oddball. Mm-hmm. But like anything else, I don't know if you guys ever read The Purple Cow.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that came out a lot later. But mm-hmm. The Purple Cow, you have to give everyone the wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Impression. So what happened was, that's the way I did the janitorial to being a wow impression.
Yep.
And I figured I could do that in the security, mm-hmm. Not knowing anything about it. I'm just smart enough to know that, you surround yourself with good people, you can get anything done.
Sure. So that's interesting. The wow factor. I remember that book, Purple Cow, man. That's, that brings back memories. That's probably one of the first Seth Godin books I ever picked up. But it was, it's a game changer for sure.
Even today, it's still a game changer. Yeah. You have to wow your clientele. Mm-hmm. Your clientele is your best asset you have for sales.
Yeah.
So, you know, making sure you're branding yourself properly, but at the same time, making sure that wow factor still stays in existence, keeps everybody in place. We don't really have a sales team here. Mm-hmm. We operate out of New Jersey and New York. We have about 500 security officers. The people that sell right now is myself and my daughter.
Okay.
Wow. So, we're basically, independent, sales machine, with really no outside support besides running a few, you know, we still do some direct mail, mm-hmm. As much as you guys go lumpy mail.
Yeah.
Lumpy mail to me is something that is a treat for people today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We had a guy on that you would love, Joe, Brian Kurtz. He used to work for Boardroom Publishing. Mm-hmm. You probably remember Boardroom, Bottom Line Reports, those guys. But mm-hmm. he's handled literally billions of pieces of direct mail. So we're big fans of direct mail. And he always says that right now the mailbox is the least crowded inbox that anybody has, you know. So it makes complete sense that, you know, you'd be using direct mail. So tell us a little bit more about, you know, direct mail, how you kind of stumbled on that. And then specifically, how'd you learn about lumpy mail, and what type of things are you using? Were you using?
Well, what's on lumpy mail, what I do is I address everything to the person itself. I don't use generic. Mm-hmm. That's a big factor when you're using lumpy mail. If you try to be generic across the board, it gets thrown away.
Right,
if you send them something that's, you know, first class mail, you know, it's, you know, not a inexpensive envelope, but something of quality. So it looks like something, you have a better tendency to have them open that mail up.
Sure.
The other thing too is always putting in a business card or something that they can retain. Mm-hmm. A trifold brochure, a business card, And I've had people keep my business card or brochure for anywhere from 3 to 5 years and then call us. So what happens is it's like, oh, look, you know, well, I'll just save this.
Yeah.
And I'm still current because we're still doing the, we still do the email blast. We still do all that other good stuff. Yeah. You know, moving on with the times, but you are correct. The email mailbox is just crammed to no extent at this point. Even I do it. I go through my email. I go click, 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 click. It's not referring to me. I don't care.
Yeah.
So you got to grab them again. We just had a meeting recently to institute lumpy mail to a much greater, you know, piece of our marketing right now because no one's responding to our email.
Right.
You know, the web, yes. You know, people Google.
Yeah.
It's a great tool. But the problem is you still have to brand yourself with people seeing that logo. So in a security agency, you know, I don't have a brand that I could put on a bottle that'll be on a shelf or on a truck or something in that nature. So I have to come up with some creative ways to show building security services.
So who are you mailing to? Are you mailing to, is there a specific target market in terms of companies that you market your services to? And then within those companies, who are you trying to get a hold of? What is the decision maker that would make that decision and bring you guys in? Who are you reaching out to?
The decision makers for me would be property managers, asset managers, CEO,
yeah,
CFO, people who are able to say, yes, we need a change, and sure, they're willing to spend money. The problem you have to realize, gentlemen, when I give them a quote, a small quote could be $100,000. So, you know, all of a sudden now it's, you know, they're not going to let the person who's not authorized to get involved with that. You know, it's not a $500 purchase.
Right.
When they're buying security, they're paying a lot of money because there's an officer there usually around the clock. So that becomes substantial and you have to make sure you get the right person. Now, like there's a app or software that we use called CoStar. CoStar is a very big real estate industry software that shows you all kinds of data, the building data, the size of the building, the amenities in the building. It'll show who's doing the property management, who truly owns the building. And then what we do is we customize our mailings according to the names we can pull out of that.
Yeah. So yeah. Targeting is such a big deal. You know, there's, you know, whether you're using something like, you know, Info USA for businesses and you found a, you know, a specific
software. And we use Info, and now we use Info,
yeah,
you know, USA as well. I found CoStar to be a little more aggressive. It's a lot more expensive. Don't get me wrong. I can tell you right now, running North Jersey and New York City markets to keep CoStar available to us, I believe is about $13,000 a year.
Wow.
So,
and how big of an area do you cover?
We're doing New York City and the five boroughs. And then we're doing basically from, central New Jersey, Trenton, New Jersey up to Northern Jersey. We've gotten out of the, South Jersey market completely, Delaware and, Pennsylvania.
Okay. And what's your average size, like building, what's your kind of your niche for putting officers in there?
I'd probably say the commercial real estate building, office building is one of my primaries. I like the high rise buildings. We have some specialty officers such as fire safety directors and things like that, that are needed for these buildings required by the state of New York. So I specialized again. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. You specialize in something.
Right. That's what I'm hearing.
Right. You get your name out. So that's one of our big clientele. We do a lot with the residential community, the high-rise residentials. So we supply concierge, security patrol drivers, things in that nature to accommodate the residential market. Then we do a shopping center retail type atmospheres. So we put a lot of patrol vehicles out in that market.
Yeah. I love your story, Joe, because, you know, in this, you know, it's a lot of the circles that Jonathan and I are more myself are in, but Jonathan's familiar with. And it's funny to me because I've also been kind of outside and worked with corporations. And my dad was a salesman growing up, and I've been in a lot of different types of businesses. And I'm always amazed, like in the online world, how people think, you know, $1 million or $5 million, or even 10 million, like if they hit 10 million, they think they're like the king of the mountain in that world, mm-hmm. you know, and they're trying to go worldwide to hit those numbers. And I think it's just fascinating. All the little companies like yours, Joe, and I don't mean little in a bad way, but like just out there doing your thing, pretty small little area, you know, of the world.
We're not large. We're yeah. basically, my foot is basically only really a 60 mile radius.
That's incredible. And you're doing, you're 14 million a year?
Yeah. Yeah. We're hoping the next 5 years, we'd like to get a little over 20 million.
Yeah,
I'm not ready to retire. I'm going to be 62 in June. I like the game. I love my clients. I enjoy being out there solving issues and
sure.
things of that nature. Security gets a lot of headaches to mm-hmm. deal with, you know, especially in our electronic division, you know, trying to resolve old systems, trying to, you know, purge them with the newer systems and things of that nature. So it's fun, you know, it's a challenge, mm-hmm. yeah. Keeps me young.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I just love it to death. And then having Hothead Tech, which is my IT division, we have the expertise to, integrate most of our electronic systems with a lot of the building systems. Mm-hmm. So it's something that a lot of my competitors don't have. They might have the electronic division with them, but they don't have the guard electronic IT. So what I do is I become more of a value solver.
Sure.
Right.
To get everybody together and make yep. it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my clients that I work with here in Austin, you know, he always talks about, you know, find out who you're serving. Mm-hmm. That kind of small niche, get them a product, and he does a lot of e-commerce type stuff, but it applies to any type of business, and then start offering them additional products, the same person. You don't have to go look for new people.
Nope.
Just extend your product line a little bit to the people that already love you. Mm-hmm. And that second and third sale is so much easier than, you know, than the first one.
Oh, absolutely. It's, I mean, yes, building security services is my biggest. It's doing the 14 million. My electronic division, which was only started not too long ago, we're already at a little over 2.5 million. So what happens is it's happening the same way as my guard division went, was the fact that, you know, it's like anything else too. You know, recommendations can make or break you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like anything. You're drinking a fine, you know, you're drinking a nice craft beer you enjoy, you tell your friends.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, hey, Sean, check this beer out. It's great.
Right.
What happens? You check the beer out.
Sure.
Yep.
And there goes your next client. Yep. And then yep. your next client. So Lumpy Mail gives you an opportunity to get your first client, but you still have to do a lot to keep that first client.
Absolutely.
And then move on to your second client.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So let's go back to the Lumpy Mail a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Give us an idea of what kind of the strangest piece of mail you've sent out, or the most creative. I know you mentioned being creative. Like, what's the most creative piece of mail you sent out?
I would probably say in the early 70s, when I was doing the janitorial, I had a small wooden toilet made for us, especially for us. And,
an actual size wooden toilet.
No, or, not actual size. It goes on your desk, and it had like a little clip on the back of it. So it was like a little note holder.
Okay.
Matter of fact, the, CEO of Johnson & Johnson in New Brunswick, New Jersey, had my toilet on his desk for years until he retired. you have to give the wow factor.
Yeah, you mentioned quality earlier, so, you know, you got to send something, like, not something that you can find just anywhere. It sounds to me like you're looking for something unique. I mean, what do you typically, are you trying to, it seems like what you said, you're trying to get real personal. You're not sending out just anything and with a, you know, you're trying to send a personal note with something that relates to what your, I guess, your message.
Right. Like, for instance, I'll send something out and I'm going to show you something.
Okay.
You guys will laugh at me probably.
No, we won't. We love show and tell. We love, okay. We love creative ideas.
This, okay, is just a little card with my logo on it.
Right.
Right. I write a little hand note asking the opportunity to meet him or her. And I send it in an envelope.
Right.
All right. When I'm running out of things, I can't break the ice.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you just slide that into an
8.5 by 11.
That's what it is. Yeah. Look, yeah. See?
That's so simple, so straightforward.
I bet you have a pad of those. Like,
I literally buy them by the thousands.
Oh yeah.
But it's something that you want to do to attract the individual to you yourself. Cause like I said, everybody, look, my main competition, are three large competitors. Okay. They literally do international billions of dollars of work. I have to compete against them. I have to be different. Yeah. All right. I have to give them something that they can't get anywhere. That's if you look, I have operational staff, great managers and everything else. But what I do is, here, gentlemen, here's my cell phone. Hmm. You have an issue, you call me directly. Hmm. I don't care where I'm at. If I'm in Hawaii, if I'm in Cabo, Mexico, if I'm in Italy, I'll answer my phone. I'd literally carry that phone 24/7. And I've been doing that ever since I opened up the company. So it's something that you want to give them, something that they feel good about and then they can get to somebody right away. And why not the owner of the company?
Sure.
Right. And that's a high touch, offer and value. I mean, it's something that nobody else, especially your big competitors, are just not going to offer. They're going to have to go through a phone tree and support and
it never happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And they're never getting to the CEO.
No, but that's, again, I don't want to be a giant. My goal, my daughter has decided to take the business and continue it. We're at one point a couple years ago, we were thinking about selling it. My wife came to me and she says, honey, what are you going to do? You can't retire.
She's trying to keep you away from the house.
She's in the company. She's the CFO.
Oh, okay.
And what happens is she goes, no offense, honey, you have ADD. You cannot retire. You need something to keep you busy.
Sure.
And, I have an office, my main office here in South Orange, New Jersey. I have one in New York City. I keep a full operating office at my home, my main house, and our shore house. So I have a full office as well. Every type of technology you could possibly think of sits in all those locations. Any given time, I'm at the fingertips of the client.
Right.
And, it makes for a happy client. But like I said, going back to lumpy mail, it's something that people are discounting a lot lately. It's expensive today. United States Post Office now is just killing us with that. At one point we'd be able to put lumpy mail out at 26 cents a piece. Right now, 26 cents will cost us approximately now, I believe it's $1.18 or $1.19 it's costing us.
Yeah.
That's a big change in only 10 years.
Yeah, but I mean, I would look at, I would see behind the scenes of some Facebook ad campaigns and those types of campaigns and, the contact to get a lead or an opt-in, which you don't even know if it's going to be the person you want necessarily, you're spending $2, $3, $4 for that as well. Like it's not, so. No,
that's true.
So I think the mail is still a great deal, even at $1.50, $2, if you depend on what you're putting in, in the envelope or in a package, or, if you decide to do another custom little wood toilet or, I used to have this binder full of all these different things you could send out, trash cans, like all these different things. And, but still it's right in line with, a lot of the costs that you would have for online lead acquisition.
Correct. And what's happening, and that's what's happening. Mario, who you know, we spoke about before, Mario handles all my SEO work.
Yeah.
Does a phenomenal job. All right. But that's only one piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, yes, it drives business in and so on. And you are getting qualified leads because once they do the, you know, if they're doing, they're driving you to the webpage and they're filling out the contact form, you do have a qualified lead going, right. Which has made a very big difference in our life. But what's happening is our email campaigns are dying.
Yeah.
We're not getting responses to them.
Right. Right.
We just sent out, I believe, 10,000 emails, to qualified people that, you know, we know in the area. And, I think I got three back.
Yeah.
Wow. Three replies.
Three replies.
Good grief. What was your, do you know what your open, what percentage
my
of
open,
people?
My open rate was about 60%, yeah. Which was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, at one point a couple of years ago, you know, we'd have a great open rate and we'd get a good return, but it's starting to, you know, go backwards. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Now we have to reinvent ourselves to come into another area of marketing somehow, some way.
You should talk to Sean. He's a copywriter.
He's a copywriter. Maybe I will. That's not even a joke.
No. I'm not joking, you know, either.
No, it's, well, because what you put in makes a big difference in what they're going to open up.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's lump email, whatever it is, it has to attract attention.
Sure.
Right. And motivate them to take the next step. I mean, that's right. The big thing.
Again, but you still have the brand. I still do trade shows.
Yeah.
They're kind of obsolete. I don't know if you gentlemen.
I love trade shows.
You know, but in general, we don't get the responses like we used to from trade mm-hmm. shows. So right. Basically, it's becoming just a branding scenario for us.
Right.
Yeah.
So we don't get, you know, good qualified leads at the trade show. We get them afterwards. Mm-hmm. 3-4 months after, somebody will call us,
sure.
You know, cause they, you know, had one of my pens or cups or whatever we were giving away.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
well, it's kind of like I used to have a handyman business when I was kind of transitioning careers, not 15 years ago. And one thing I recognize, just like you said at the beginning of the show, is people would save that flyer. I used to go around and literally stick flyers in mailboxes, you know, target neighborhoods. You know, I was like, okay, this neighborhood's old enough that it needs some help, nice enough that they can afford it. That's my target market. So I'd put flyers in their mailboxes, and sometimes it'd be 3 months, but you know, everybody has that junk drawer where they put the lawn guy's flyer,
absolutely,
handyman's flyer. And that's kind of what happens with the trade shows and with the mail that you send out. And that's why I think you've got to be in this for the long game and not just like a lot of people in our world want to measure everything on, you know, a 7-day campaign and mm-hmm. conversions in 30 days, something like that. And that's just not how the world works, especially if yeah. you're offering any type of service or longer term thing. It's just, Simon Sinek has a new book out. I don't know if you've seen it, Joe, or
no, I haven't.
It's called the Infinite Game. And it's based on the old book, Infinite Games and Finite Games.
Okay.
And basically he's saying business is an infinite game. So there's no set rules. There's no set finish line. So if you're going to, the game of business is to keep playing the game. Like there is no finish line. There's no winning. There is no,
well, you can't stop.
Yeah.
Right. You literally can't stop. If you think you're ahead of the game and you stop,
you're done.
There's always some.
It's a typical scenario. When yeah. the shark stops swimming,
that's right.
What does he do? He dies.
Your yeah. competitor is waiting for you to slow
to die.
Down. Yeah, exactly.
All right. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
When we decided to take the company, and my daughter said, you know, we're going to, you know, she wants to take it to the second generation. Mm-hmm. We were only doing about $8.5 million a couple years ago. So I said, all right, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to grab it and take the bull by the horns. We're going with it. Okay. We went from $8.5 million to $14 million and probably in the last 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Anything can be done. I believe firmly that, you know, people make their own destiny. Mm-hmm. You want to be average, you work average.
Yeah.
You want to be above average, you got to work a lot harder. Right. All right, nothing's going to come fall in your lap and say, oh, I went to Harvard. Okay, I'm going to make millions of dollars. Well, it doesn't work that way.
Nope.
You know, it's like anything else, 9 in 10 times, you know, when I'm at meetings and they're like, wow, what, you know, where'd you go? What university did you go to? I said, School of Hard Knocks. And they're like, wow, you're not... You didn't come from that kind of bash. I said, absolutely not. I said, the thing is you learn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you have to learn everything. Yep. And a good business owner, I know my insurances. I know my payroll.
Right.
I know my taxes. I know everything that needs to be done. As soon as you go blind eyed, you're finished.
Yeah. You're in good company with a lot of other CEOs out there that said, I'm not learning anything here.
No, you always have to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you think you don't have to learn, you're stupid.
Yeah, absolutely.
The world keeps on evolving to where if you're not paying attention to what you're doing, you're finished. You got to keep on going 100 miles an hour.
Right.
And you know, you don't let up. I still put weekends in, probably, you know, for somebody who's turning 62, I'm still averaging probably, I don't know, 60 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the other thing in a nutshell is I enjoy what I do.
Sure.
Right.
So that's something that I think has become part of my success is that I enjoy making people happy and doing the right thing.
Right.
So I guess that's the difference with people. You know, if you're not enjoying it, I guess you know, you're not going to do as well. I like people.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I like socializing. I like the whole nine yards of getting things.
From a personal approach on when you do a mailing, is it mostly, are you the one that's writing these messages to these prospects?
For the bigger ones, yes. Okay. I will drop a personal, our direct mail. When we do that, believe it or not, you're going to laugh at me, but I do sign every single letter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We do not have them
stamped.
Yeah. No, yeah. Nope. Every letter has my personal signature on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell when you open up the envelope.
Yeah.
So it's a real, you know,
It's funny cause people check for that stuff.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
I mean, I've done it myself. Like I'll kind of rub the back of the paper. Like, is this real? Like, did he really take the time to sign this? And, yep. I don't think I'm the only one that does that. I think it's just no. Human nature and curiosity. Like people want to know. And when you feel like it is, you're like, oh, okay.
Well, if you're asking for a personal request and if you can't personally sign something, you know, to me that you've shown no effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I was on the other side, just like when I look at things, the guy who made the effort, I'm going to give the attention to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cause the other guys are a dime a dozen.
Right.
All right. I like to see somebody who's creative.
So let me ask you, this is kind of a woo woo question here. Kind of gets into the world of like quantum physics and energy. And I don't know if you're into that or not, but I'm going to throw it out. Are you thinking anything while you're signing these letters? Like, are you thinking about this person calling you back? Are you just like going through the stack signing? Cause there's so many of them.
No. Cause my mind's always going, I guess you would put me in with the workaholics.
Okay.
I don't look at it that way because, like I said, I enjoy it. So to me, it's not a workaholic. I'm constantly thinking of things. I could be driving my boat, and I'm thinking about, you know, what I did, or I sent out an email, or I sent out a piece of literature, you know. I'm thinking in the back of my mind, you know, I wonder when he'll call. If he'll call, maybe I should, you know, let's see what happens and the whole bit. So I'm always making a game plan in the back of my head. It sounds a little weird probably, but you know, you're always, for me, I'm always thinking what my next step's going to be.
What's your next, what's your strategy when they, reply?
You know, if they, if I get a big hit, you know, I'm like, okay, you know, I have to now, you know, what's the best way to find out, things of that nature. So I do a lot of research on a lot of the clients, especially the bigger ones that I want. I learn a little bit about their firm. If I can find something about them personally, I do that as well. So I'll search the web and things like that to find out, you know, sometimes, you know, oh, you know, he's married, he's got kids, or she's married, has kids, or things of that nature. And then I'll make my little notes. And this way, you know, if I could, you know, sometimes you'll find their birthdays and things of that nature. Then I'll write them a little happy birthday. You know, that's out of nowhere. And all of a sudden now they're like,
how did he know that?
Right. So then he'll call me. By the way, how'd you get my birthday? And I'm like, well, I'm security. I'm a private detective. So,
hey, yeah, that fits right into the story there.
Yeah. And, it makes a difference. You know, people want to be known. People want to feel like they,
to be recognized.
You know, they're wanted.
Yeah.
And if you can show that to them, it makes a world of difference. I do that with my employees.
Yeah.
I do bowling parties for all my managers and everything. I take them out for a whole weekend, get hotel rooms, things, you know, to bring them to a comedy shop or do whatever I have to do to where I want them to feel part of the family.
Yeah.
And you know, even the security officers, you know, my wife handwrites them birthday cards, things of that nature. You want to bring everybody into that family realm that's missing out of society today. And people do want it. People do want to feel like they're part of something.
And I think people want to feel, I think you kind of touched on it earlier. People want to feel recognized for what they've achieved. I remember one of the things I did one time was for a client that I was working on. They had won some awards and were featured in one of their trade journals. So I actually screenshot that picture of the trade journal because they were featured on the cover for that month. And I actually screenshot that, put it on a card, had it sent to them with a congratulations note, just a simple congratulations. And I didn't have their business at the time, but just congratulating them for their success, for their achievement. And put my information, my card and everything. And sure enough, I got a meeting with him. And when I went in to meet with the president of the company, he had that card sitting upright on his desk. You know, and I don't think he was doing it. He may have been doing it for me. Who knows? But the point is, I got the meeting. It was like, but who cares? Hold it.
But you put in extra effort.
That's right.
Yep.
That's where today's generations don't do that.
No,
There's no extra effort. You know, it's working 9 to 5 and we got to have a good time. Do would I like a little more free time? Absolutely. But on the other hand is, you know, you want to do the best you can for your family and your children. And making sure they're successful and making sure they're educated properly and doing it like that. And it takes a lot of time and effort to do so.
Right.
You know, in the beginning, building security services, I was married in 1984. And, you know, unfortunately, the first 10 years of my children growing up, I missed their lives, basically. Now, today, I spend a lot of time with them. You know, it's like, hey, girls, you know, what do you want to do? Let's, you know, I'll fly you here. Let's go here. I'm making up for a lot of time I've lost.
Sure.
But on the other hand, they appreciate it because they're like, hey, Dad, you know, we don't have school loans. Mm-hmm. You know, we drive new cars. Mm-hmm. We have this. You know, it's a great, you know, you provided a great life. And now we understand why you weren't around.
Yep.
So as they get older, they appreciate what they have. But the problem being is I don't get a lot of time. Now I get time with my granddaughter and I have a grandson coming in June. And now, for instance, I went to her, you know, little, little play she had in preschool.
Yeah.
You know, things I wasn't able to do with my children, I do now.
Right.
So there's a give and take in everything you want to do. You want to put the time up front, or are you going to stay status quo the rest of your life?
That's right.
And happy making an average living. I've never been an average person.
Yeah. Right. And either way, there's struggle, right? Because if you don't do the work up front, you're going to just suffer and struggle as you get further in life because you don't have the resources.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you want to educate your children. Oh, I don't have the money. We got to give student loans. We have to do this. Or, I need a new car. Oh, we can't afford a new car and things of that nature. I hear so many people complain, but that's where I came up with, you know, my saying I love the most is people create their own destiny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing you can do about it. And the ones who I call that have the heart syndrome, okay, they become very successful, especially with me. I promote within my company. I don't hold it against them if they don't have a college education. I want to know that they have the heart and the loyalty to take and be part of something that I feel is great.
Sure.
So, you know, they have to come up with the same feeling I have. I have that passion. I truly feel we give a great service to our clients. So you know, I want the same thing. You know, you could teach anyone anything.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't care who you are. America's a great place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here. All right. And I'm lucky I graduated high school,
mm-hmm.
but you learn real quick. You have to survive.
That's right.
And once I found my niche, okay, you guys will laugh. I was an introvert when I was younger. You learn to grow. And like you said, you know, I see all your books loaded up. I'm the same. I like to see what's out there, what the perspectives are. I don't know if you read Jack Welch's book. I love to see the perspectives of different owners and mm-hmm. CEOs on what their feeling is.
Sure.
So to me, it's exciting.
Yeah. And what there's the old quote that talks about, you know, you want I can't remember the exact quote. It's kind of an old quote, so it's hard to memorize, but it's, you know, you want to be the guy who people can't tell the difference between your work and play.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've kind of nailed that and mastered that. And you've even, and obviously, like, the biggest telling thing to me is hearing your story. And even though you've worked a lot, your daughter has chosen to come in the company with you. Mm-hmm. That speaks a lot about how much you must enjoy work for her to want to follow and see that and follow you into that. Because if you were miserable all the time, she wouldn't have wanted to come work.
No.
Right?
She sees she sees both ends, the rewards to it mm-hmm. and the back end of the business. It's extremely hard because you don't, as an independent owner, unfortunately, you live this 24/7, yep. 365 days a year. So there's pluses and minuses to everything. You know, sometimes I do. Sometimes I envy some of my friends. They're big executives. They worked their way up the ladder and now they're coasting.
Yep.
All right. But as they get older, the companies are replacing them.
Yeah.
So now I'm at a point now going, ho, look at this. I'm in my driver's seat. They're unemployed yep. and they're going to have to start their pension. Right. Well, I don't want to be that way.
Sure.
Not at my age. Mm-hmm. You know, my daughter says, you know, Dad, when do you think you retire? I says, well, when you put me in a pine box, I'm good.
Maybe.
You're probably right, but I'll probably stand up somewhere. I told him, I don't know what kind of music you guys enjoy. I'm a big country fan.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And, I told my wife what I'd like to do. I says, you know, when I pass away, you have to stand me up in my coffin. And I want to go to a bar and I want you to get somebody like George Strait or somebody to come sing. I don't care what it costs. So she laughs and she goes, yeah, you're right. You probably do want to have a big party, don't you? I said, absolutely.
Yeah, we could probably just get you stuffed like a nice bear, put you in the corner of the office there.
Absolutely.
You know,
just, I'm game, you know.
Taxidermy.
But
we start a whole new business, human taxidermy, right? That wouldn't be weird at all.
No, I think I'm going to pass on that. I'm always looking to open up something new, and that's not going to be one of them.
That's not going to be it. So, Joe, if you had to give people, I mean, you've been in business for quite a while, since the 70s, doing your own thing. If you had to give people listening like one piece of advice around persuasion and like whether it's with your clients or team members or, you know, employees or whatever, what's your number one piece of advice?
For that aspect of it, you truly have to believe in yourself and what you're selling. So everyone understands and feels that compassion.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to go out and try to persuade somebody to do something, or if it's your employees or a client, you know, they have to believe in you. So you have to make sure you yourself as a business person believes what they're doing. All right. I truly believe what I'm doing and what I'm selling is correct. All right. There's never been in the back of my mind I felt like I was doing the wrong thing. I take a very honest approach to everything. Never tried to oversell, you know, a client, things of that nature. I don't want that. So for me to persuade them to do something or to get something, I carry a very honest opinion, and I do vocalize it. I just say, hey, look, you know, I don't believe this is the correct thing to do. And you got to believe in yourself that you're giving that person the correct advice. If you're just doing it for the sense of BS, well, no, then give it up. You know, you're going to be, someone's going to find out about you real quick. Mm-hmm. You know, you really truly have to believe. And my daughter and I, and my wife, we truly believe that we offer a very good service and things of that nature. So when we're talking to people, we feel confident we're doing the right thing for you.
Sure.
I love that because it's not relying on tactics or techniques or anything. It's just
an honest from the heart. Yeah. Remember I said the heart syndrome?
Yep.
You have to have the heart syndrome. I don't care today's society, 1920s or the next 50 years, you have to have that type of love and passion. Okay. To move people and persuade them to do what you need to get, you know, get done. And, you know, and if it's in your heart and you know, you're doing the right thing, it's easy.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much. My daughter is when she's closing deals. I mean, the lady is probably 8 out of 10, 80% closing, mm-hmm. which is a phenomenal rate.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, but she believes in what she's selling.
Sure.
And that the family is backing everybody up. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a young man, somebody got locked out of their office, a woman in New York City. We're the guard service there, and the lady had no coat, no money. Her pocketbook was in there. There was nobody there to open up the door for her. We did not have the keys to her personal office. My officer gave her his coat, took her and bought her something to eat, and actually paid for a subway ticket to get her home.
That's all right. Cool. That's now, a cool story.
It is a cool story. But on the other hand, I made sure my daughter and I went to visit that gentleman. Mm-hmm. He was a fairly new officer. What he spent was not the question, but we gave him a nice gift card. Okay. A certificate and everything, and told him, I truly appreciate what he did because that's something from his heart.
Right.
And again, that's a heart syndrome. Now I see that gentleman being in my company on a long term, because I will make sure somebody like that stays with me.
Yep.
Yeah. And you're never going to be able to write that in an SOP manual because that situation's a one-off situation. You can't SOP that out, you know? So, that's the kind of it. So on our next episode, Jonathan, we're going to be talking, I think, about the book, The Man Nobody Knows. And there's a quote that kind of matches what you said, Joe. It says, the essential element in personal magnetism is a consuming sincerity, an overwhelming faith in the importance of the work one has to do. And I think that just kind of sums up.
That's a good summary of your company.
That is a superb summary. Not even a good one. No, it's something I believe in. So I can't argue the point. I think I live by that. So
yeah. Well, that was one of the greatest writers of the 1920s, copywriters actually of the 1920s that wrote that. So
really,
he's Bruce Barton. I don't know if you ever heard the name, but
no,
he's good copywriter. So we'll be discussing that on the next show. But man, Joe, this time has flown by. I'm out of beer. Jonathan's out of beer, I think. Yep. So means the show is
completely
over.
Empty right here.
You guys were great.
Thanks, Joe. And I want to mention your company too. It's again, as we mentioned, buildingsecurity.com. We'll be getting this out earlier next week, and I'll send this over to Mario, and he can send you a link to it once we have it. Everything's finalized and published.
Yeah, Mario's a great guy. Yeah. To be honest with you guys, he's my son-in-law. He's married to my daughter who works in the company.
Okay.
Well, that's good stuff. I mean, hey,
he's trying to get me into today's, podcasts and things in that nature. He says, Joe, you're lively. You'll be good for this stuff.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. Don't do this.
Well, I tell you, it's going to be hard to top this one when you get into them. So, lower your expectations for everybody else. this is the most fun you'll have in our podcast.
It is. You guys were great. I'll be honest with you. I was terrified.
That's what a lot of people say. A lot of people are nervous. So we're like, hey, nothing to be nervous about, especially on ours. We're just having a beer.
Yeah.
Well, that's the nice part about it, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Joe. Well, listen, have a great weekend, man. We enjoyed it. And again, it's been a pleasure. Enjoyed meeting you and having you on. And we'll have to do it again sometime.
Absolutely. It's been great, guys.
All right. Thanks.